What goes through the mind of someone who is just worn out from battling a terrible, debilitating disease? Someone who has decided the time has come to end her life? Or through the mind of a caring man who's opened his home and his heart to a child in great need, only to have the court order that that child be returned to his mother when she gets out of jail? And how do the lives of these two people intersect? Those questions drive a new novel, 5 Days Left. It's by Michigan author Julie Lawson Timmer, and she's here with us now. And Julie, this isn't just your new novel. This is your first novel.
It is. Thank you very much for having me. It is the first novel, though my mother will tell you that when I was 5, I wrote a book called The Battle of the Bread and Jams with no vowels at all. And so she still claims that is my first novel.
That is great. Mothers would say that, wouldn't
right,
they?
Right.
That is great. And we're going to talk a little later about how a busy working attorney carves out the time to write and turns out something that is getting such strong reviews. In fact, I should note among many reviews, Kirkus Reviews writes, and here's a quote, "Timmer's emotional debut about saying goodbye should come with a box of tissues." Start by explaining, Julie, the significance of this title, 5 Days Left.
Sure. With both characters, Mara Nichols, who's a lawyer in Dallas, Texas, and Scott Kaufman, who's a middle school basketball coach in Royal Oak, Michigan, have 5 days left with the ones they love most. And the book tracks both stories over those 5 days. So as the book opens, Mara is considering taking her life in 5 days to spare herself and her family from the end stages of a truly terrible disease, Huntington's. And Scott has 5 days left with a little boy he's been looking after with his wife while the little boy's mother is in jail.
And I have to tell you, number one, I read the book in one day. I really, really liked it. And I thought you did such a skillful job, and it doesn't always happen, of taking us from the present to the past and weaving that all together back and forth. Nice job, because we always know where we're at.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to have you read an excerpt, but tell us first about Mara Nichols.
Sure. Mara Nichols is actually came to me after a friend of mine lost a fairly lengthy battle with cancer, and she knew that she was dying and wouldn't be around for her children, and I became absolutely consumed with the injustice of her situation. And I thought the book might be a way to honor my friend. I actually thought it might be a way for me to work through the feelings of injustice I had about this disease taking someone's life so short. That didn't happen. I'm just as enraged about Huntington's and ALS and cancer as I was when I started. But that's how I originally conceived of Mara, who's a type A, very independent lawyer and mother in Dallas, Texas. She wants to be in control of her life and always has been. And she is furious that a disease like Huntington's is going to control how she lives out her final days. And she's thinking maybe she wants to take her own life into her own hands while she still has the chance.
And then two interesting choices I'd like you to talk about. She is an adoptee and she has an adopted daughter, and she's Indian background, and her little adopted daughter Lakshmi comes from an Indian orphanage. Why did you make those choices?
Well, this is interesting. I just had to confess to some high school students who were asking me questions about the book that actually, when I started writing notes about this book, Mara came to me almost fully formed, and it just so happened she was heading back to India with her parents to adopt a child there, having been adopted from there herself. And one of the questions I got from the high schoolers was, did you give her an adopted daughter so that we wouldn't have to worry about this daughter having this genetic disease? And I said, no, but at one point I realized the daughter was adopted and I thought, well, that's handy because now we don't have to worry about it. But that wasn't anything I consciously planned, which is funny to me.
It just, she came that way.
She came that way.
Would you read the excerpt that kind of opens the book?
Sure. This is from chapter one. Mara had chosen the method long ago. Pills, vodka, and carbon monoxide. A garage cocktail, she called it. The name sounded almost elegant, and sometimes when she said it out loud, she could make herself believe it wasn't horrifying. It would still be horrific for Tom, though, and she hated herself for that. She would rather do it without leaving a body for him. But as much as she'd love to spare him from being the one to discover her, she knew not letting him find her would be worse. And at least this was the tidiest option. He could have someone come and take her car away, fill her side of the garage with something else to block the image, bikes maybe, gardening supplies, a second car for himself. Maybe she should arrange to have one delivered after. Would that be too weird, though? A gift from your dead wife. She should have given him one years ago, for their anniversary or to celebrate bringing baby Lakshmi home, or just because. She should have done so many things. Mara frowned. How could it be that she had spent almost 4 years ticking off all those items on her long list of things to do before she died, yet here she was, 5 days from it, and still thinking of things she should have done? Ah, but that was the trick of it. Tell yourself you'll wait until you've accomplished every last thing and you'd keep putting it off, because there would always be one last thing. Which might be fine for someone who had the luxury of delaying a few more weeks or months or years even until they were finally out of excuses and ready to go through with it. Mara didn't have that luxury. In less than 4 years, Huntington's disease, the mother of all brain cell destroyers, had already done more damage than she and Tom could have ever prepared for. She had the severance papers from the law firm to prove it. The once graceful, athletic body that was now slow to react, reluctant to cooperate. If she allowed herself to experience that one more moment with her husband and daughter, to travel to that one last must-see destination, she might wake the next morning to find it was too late and Huntington's was in control, and she would be trapped in the terrifying in-between of not being able to end her life on her own and not truly living either. Time was against her. She couldn't risk waiting any longer. She could make it to Sunday as she had planned, but she couldn't wait past then.
That's writer Julie Lawson Timmer, reading from her first novel that's called 5 Days Left. Tell us now about Scott Kaufman.
Sure. Scott Kaufman, like I said, is a middle school basketball coach, and he lives in Royal Oak, Michigan, which was a thrill for me because I live in Ann Arbor and was happy to write about Michigan. He has a former student who went to the University of Michigan, and we bleed maize and blue in my family, so that was a thrill for my husband and son in particular. He came to me because I wanted to give Mara somebody to speak to who wasn't going through as tragic a situation as she was. There's some humor in Scott's story, and he gives both Mara and the reader, I think, an emotional break. I'm actually part of an anonymous online work-family balance forum and have been for several years. And it's funny because I consider the other people on that forum to be friends, even though we've never met in real life. And I've always been very intrigued by how that could be, that you could be so close to someone you've never met. And so I liked the idea of giving Mara a forum, and that was a way for her to meet this man in Royal Oak, Michigan. I mean, they only meet online, never in person.
And you really... I think can open conversations through this book as people read and really get into the minds of someone who may have to give up a child that he's been caring for and has come to love, or someone who is getting ready to walk away from the life she loves with her husband and daughter, and which is the greater of the evils in her mind. And it really is a very skilled way you take us through what's in their minds. What do you hope listeners, what do you hope readers get out of this book?
Thank you, first of all. I hope that readers realize what I think I have come to realize, and that is that as much as we like to say, if a certain thing happened, here's exactly what I would do, or I would never do this, or I would always do that, it is not so easy when you're actually in that situation. I don't think, personally, there is any right or wrong answer to the many questions raised in this book.
Now, you're an attorney. You work as in-house counsel for a company in Oakland County. Where did that writer side come from, apart from the five-year-old who wrote the Bread and Jam book? Where did that drive come from to say, I'm going to do something completely different from the way I earn my living?
You always hear that so many lawyers write. And at one point, I realized that if I got to the end of my days, the one regret I would have is that I didn't try to write a novel and get it published. And if I tried and failed, that would be fine with me. But I didn't want to get to an advanced age and think, wow, I never tried. And so one benefit, I think, of being a lawyer is that we have deadlines with the court on a certain day, and it doesn't matter if you feel like writing. You get the 50-page brief finished, and you file it on time, or you've committed malpractice, and you've probably lost your job. And so for me, I wrote this book between 4 in the morning and 6 in the morning every day before I went to work, and almost 20 years now of being a lawyer, I've just learned, you know, when it's time to write, you just write.
It served you well. Did you take a writing class? Did you just kind of rely on your gut instincts?
I didn't take a writing class. After I had finished a draft of the novel, I went to a writing conference and learned a great deal from not only the instructors, but some of the people that I was in the conference with who have remained good friends. and have been very supportive of this book.
How many drafts?
Oh, man. it's way more than I can even count. And the first drafts have no resemblance to the book in front of you today. I mean,
wow.
Yeah.
So the process, it almost pulled you down the path.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Was it scary to put it out there and offer it up and try to find an agent and try to sell this?
Oh, my gosh. Much scarier than I ever would have realized to send out your own writing. And again, because I'm a lawyer, I'm used to getting something back with red scribbles all over it. And I don't have sort of that pride of authorship. I don't take that personally. But when it's your own thoughts and so many, when you're writing a novel, so many of a character's thoughts can be related to thoughts you've had yourself. Mm-hmm. It's amazing when somebody says, oh, I started your book, and then they don't say whether they finished it or whether they liked it. I mean, it can be agonizing.
So there's a personal thing in this book, In 5 Days Left, that perhaps is not – that's the heart where the intellect might be writing that lawyer's brief.
That's exactly right. That's the difference.
That's fascinating. Yeah. And you've gotten some great words of praise that are printed on the cover of the book from some very big authors, including Jodi Picoult. When you got these kudos from these authors, what were your thoughts?
What an honor. And honestly, I'm not sure I still believe that. I have a friend who sends me an email almost once a week, and all it says in all caps is Jodi Picoult with an exclamation mark. And I'll write back and say, I know.
So what's ahead? Another novel?
Yes, I've finished another novel, and I'm hoping that that'll be on the shelves someday in the near future. And I'm starting the third.
And you're still working as an attorney.
And I'm still working and still wrangling a bunch of teenagers at the house.
So you're juggling many plates in the air skillfully at one time. Julie Lawson Timmer of Oakland County, where she works, in Washtenaw County, Ann Arbor area, where she lives. And the novel is called 5 Days Left. I really, really enjoyed this read. So thanks for a great, great story. And I look forward to your next book.
Thank you very much for having me.